On this episode of It's a Funny Our Life podcast, I was joined by former Liverpool defender, the second most Liverpool appearances after Ian Callaghan, former England international, and was part of the Liverpool side that won the infamous 2005 Champions League final against AC Milan, Jamie Carragher. Okay, so welcome back to It's a Funny Old Life podcast, and I'm very pleased to say I'm joined by a hero of mine growing up, Jamie Carragher. Jamie, thanks for joining.
It's an absolute pleasure, Joe. Ever since I saw your little video with the lads from Liverpool, it went viral.
Viral.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Is that where it went?
Yeah.
And delighted to come on, and hopefully we'll have a good footy chat.
Definitely. So I want to go into it. Obviously, with Robbo and that, I asked an icebreaker question, which was the chippy order, but I'm going to go on to a different one. So if you say you were hosting a party, dinner party, or just a general party, and you had three celebrities that you had to invite, dead or alive, I kind of nicked this question off someone else's pod, but I think it's a good one. Who would it be?
The first person that springs to mind will be Bill Shankly.
Yeah.
Obviously the connection with Liverpool, but he's probably not like Jurgen Klopp's like him, or he's like Jurgen Klopp. The more than managers, that it's the personality, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when I hear some of the videos, or you know, the old clips that you pop up, and the way he speaks, and you know how funny he is, basically, I think I'd love Bill Shankly there. I think another one I would love there would have be Johan Cruyff.
Yeah.
I think for me, Johan Cruyff is almost the number one person in football, because you have those legendary players, Pelé, Maradona, obviously we've got Messi and people like that now, but very few of those absolute legendary figures go on to be unbelievable managers.
Yeah.
And the way people talk about him, what he did about Barcelona, so I would say Johan Cruyff. Do you think it's going to be that exciting, this part? It's just going to be football talk, isn't it? Do you need someone to liven it up, or should we go for another footballer? I'm just trying to think.
No, go on, go for who you want.
Oh, God. Anyone from Marsh Lane?
Come on.
Who on Marsh Lane would liven it up? I'll go for Juice McCarthy.
Sounds.
Yeah, but go for Juice. Juice will liven it up anyway if we've got too much football chat. So we've got a character in there, and they're two big football characters anyway.
Yeah. Why would you go for them? So, sounds. So grew up in Marsh Lane, were born in 78.
Yeah.
Proud Marsh Lane lad, and Evertonians. So what happened there?
Yeah. Well, Marsh Lane is a big, certainly when I was growing up, was a big Evertonian area. It still is, because I mean, it's a family thing, isn't it? You know, your dad, and you know, it goes from there, your brothers and that. So the Carras were all Blues, obviously. The Seddons, the Hayes, Mark A. I'm just thinking of some of the other big families on Marsh Lane. The Grants, I'm not quite sure. Well, no, I think Peter McNulty's in it. He's a big Blue, isn't he? So maybe the Grants were a lot of Blues in there as well. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like there was a lot of Evertonians when we were growing up in that area. And yeah, I mean, it was just that's the way it was. And to be honest, it wasn't. It's probably a little bit more difficult now, in that I think, unfortunately for Everton, dads, when they're bringing the kids up and they go into school, and Liverpool are doing so well and Everton are doing so well, I could imagine a lot of kids saying, I'm not doing what you're doing, Dad. Yeah. And that's probably a bit of a problem for Everton right now. But when we were kids, Everton and Liverpool were sort of neck and neck, you know, the mid-80s. So very lucky as a kid to go on a lot of Wembley trips. I can still picture now leaving Marsh Lane on coaches outside the Solly, outside the Brunny, and, you know, big coach to Wembley, 85, 86, 89. I think we were all a bit too young to go to the Watford one in 84.
Yeah.
So it was a brilliant time to be a fan. And I'd love one day for those days to come back, where, you know, Merseyside was seen as the, you know, the epicentre, really, of not just English football, but European football. But I don't think that will ever happen again. I think it was a really special time, and I was lucky to be a part of that then, really.
Yeah, so what age was it when you first really got that buzz of football, started to kick a ball and that?
The first time I remember First time I remember kicking a ball, I would say, was in the Brunny. As a kid, my dad taking me in the Brunny for the first time. That's the first time I can remember, really. So I would have been a bit younger when I started, but that's the first. So I would have been probably about 6 or 7. Then, went from there, went to play for the Merton.
Yeah,
that was the team everyone in Bootle, certainly Marsh Lane, Bootle played for. And I always remember at the gym, what school did you go to?
Primary, well, I was at St. Franny's, Walton, by man.
Oh, okay.
Was that only by man, but I moved in like year three. Went up to Whitefield and Brech Road.
Oh, okay.
That way.
Oh, I wasn't just sure if you were you'd gone to our school or something when you were a youngster, but okay. We were... Yes, I just remember the first time I can remember playing footy at St. James was, I must have been about 5 or 6, and there was a kid a bit older than us,
yeah,
year or two older, and then we almost got put in this corner and played between ourselves, and the teacher was looking after the older kids and they were having a proper game, and then he watched us for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then he said to me, "No, you come over here."
Yeah.
So I went and played with the other kids. It was just something, just the two things I can always remember. Playing on St. James's pitch and playing in the Brunny, and then, but I was going the game and things like that then, so it was obviously, you know, going the match and being aware of football as well.
Yeah, so you went to St. James's primary school. Would you class yourself, do you think you were a clever lad, or was it always just about being a footballer?
I wasn't clever as such. I wouldn't say I obviously put everything into school, because I was obsessed with football. You know, at that age, I thought I was going to be a footballer. Yeah. You know, I was mad on Everton. I was going to the game, and there was always that thing of Everton and Liverpool on the schoolyard. And as I said, Everton and Liverpool were really good at that time. So, the headmaster was a fellow called Mr. Roach, John Roach, big Evertonian. And he sadly passed away a year or two ago. And I'd actually seen him at the Everton game. He'd go to Goodison. But he was... it was a big footballing school. You know, we didn't play anything else, just played the school team and stuff. But it was brilliant to have an headmaster who was into footy. And for me, as a kid, was an Evertonian.
Yeah. So what age were you when you first got selected for your school team?
It's all gone... When I hear my own kids talk about school now in the years, it absolutely blows my head. It does me head in when they say I'm in year 7 or I'm in year 9 and I haven't got a clue what's going on. I have to ask my kids. They've just finished now, actually, but... When they tell me what year it's in, I have to say to my missus, what's that? Is that second year junior? Is it, you know, second year senior? What are they in?
Yeah.
So I got in the football team, what we would have called first year juniors.
Yeah.
Towards the end of that year, I got into the team with not in the team, but started going sub for the 4th years.
Yeah.
So that would have been Neil Loughlin's team.
Yeah.
So... Do you know the Loughlins? Any of them, no?
Bailey Loughlin, Liam Loughlin.
Yeah, so we'll...
Liam plays here, he's captain of Bootle, yeah.
Well, I don't know who Liam's dad is. Is Liam's dad Billy?
Billy, yeah.
So Billy Loch, he played for... when I say Neil Loch, it was his younger brother.
Yeah.
So they were the 40s, but they could all play football, especially Billy, who played for my dad's team. When my dad used to manage the Merton and things Billy. So I used to go and watch them when I was a kid. So Billy Loch either played centre-back or centre-midfield for the Merton and the Brunny. So it all swings and roundabouts, doesn't it, round there in Bootle and Marsh Lane. Everyone's intertwined.
Yeah.
So no, that was it. That's what I used to play for them. And Neil Loughlin was the captain. He was the best player. And so they would have been 11. I would have been 7, I think. So yeah, I started getting a little run out then.
Yeah, you were saying about your days when you first... team was Merton Villa. So do you remember anything about them days, and can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, so we used to play at Stuart Road.
Yeah.
So you know where that is, by Bootle Stadium and stuff like that. So we used to play there, but the way the footy is now for the kids, you've got a... They play it under... I don't know, what's the youngest age they play now? Is it under 5, under 6s, under 7s?
I think something like that, yeah.
So this was... You could only play under 11 then, basically.
Yeah.
So even if you were 7 like I was... It was you had to play under 11 football, and I always remember you had to be 8 to play. And my dad sent me up to the Little Merton, and where we used to meet for the football. And the manager asked how old I was, and I said I was 8 when I was actually 7. just to make sure I could, you know, be involved or play or whatever. But I was sub.
Yeah.
For the first year, and then you get on as a sub now and again. But I'd much rather have played now and been playing games at that age rather than sort of being sub for a bit. And then you get in the team, but you're playing against lads 3 or 4 years older than you, and we got battered every week for a couple of years until we got to the, it was our age really, and then we had like obviously a decent team.
Yeah, so I think also you hold the record for like the most goals scored in a Merseyside or something when you were playing as a striker. Mm. I think it was for Bootle Boys, was it?
Yeah, Bootle Boys, yeah. So we used to come up against the... We used to have Highton, Wirral, Liverpool, Bootle, and all that type of thing. So I always played a year up throughout my youth career, whether that was for Liverpool or for Bootle Boys. So, yeah, I'm just trying to think anyone who else would have played in those games. John Stannard, Paul Joyce, Stephen Gould. I'll tell you what I'll try and do. I'll try and name the Bootle Boys team if I can remember.
Okay.
Pikey was right back. Joycey was centre half. Joey James was in midfield. Stephen Gould, a lad called Tigger. Kevin O'Leary was on the left wing. I was centre forward. John Stannard was on the right wing. I can't remember the left back or the other centre back. The goalkeeper was Paul Nuttall.
Yeah.
Who was the centre back? I think it was a lad called Neil Arrowsmith. I've got the left back. Stephen Rowan. Stephen Rowan played left back. So I can still remember that. Under 11 team for Bootle Boys. Yeah, remember all those lads' names. Great memories. The old pictures still pop up now and again on social media. But no, I love playing for Bootle Boys. We ended up playing at Goodison.
Yeah.
So we used to have the Everton Cup. And we always got beat in the final by Liverpool, which was a bit of a disappointment. They were a much bigger area than us, had a lot more schools to choose from us, but we actually won the league but lost the cup final, which was a big disappointment. And it was brilliant playing for Bootle Boys, loved it. Do you remember they used to play Silcox? Do you know where that is?
Silcox, no, I remember.
Oral Mount. So there's, I don't know if they still play there now.
No, I used to go and watch a Silcox Sunday League team. They played, I don't know, we played everywhere, Wally Old Park.
Mm.
But no, I don't know.
No, so that's where we used to play basically, in and around there. So it was good. It was a good standard. Some good players come up against you. So that's where it all started.
Yeah, so you joined Liverpool as a 9, 10-year-old. And it's funny stories when I was reading up some research that you used to turn up to Liverpool training wearing a Graham Sharp Everton kit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they were the only kits you had at the time. So it wasn't like you the academies now, all the kids get kits.
Yeah.
So you'd have to just come in whatever kit you've got. And will you use your kit, by the way? Have you got one now? Who's on the back of your shirt?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who was your first shirt?
My first shirt I can remember was
You're not supposed to say 23 Carragher, that's the answer.
23 Carragher. No, I don't remember a 12-13 season, because I remember it, because the title win, or the one where we nearly won the league, the next season was similar, but it had the collar on it.
Okay.
It was your last season, and it was a Steven Gerrard one. I remember that was my first kit.
Had to be Gerrard, didn't it?
God, gotta be.
Yeah, still your favourite player? You sound like him there.
Yeah,
of course.
No, I mean, he was you and him, and obviously others were like, who I had a lot growing up, who I modelled me. Well, as I'm a player, well, I prefer my preferred positions midfield, so I probably modelled my game more around Gerrard.
Well, okay, let's talk about your career. Forget my career for a minute.
Okay.
Well, come on then.
I don't know. I went to the first was Everton Community.
Okay.
I was out there from 5 to about 11.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ricey.
So go on, explain that. How does that work? Is that a team or you're in a group?
So it was like training, obviously, of I think it was a Monday night. And then we'd go into play games which weren't like proper games, but like tournaments in like sometimes it was up in Warrington, Southport. We played loads of places, but it was tournaments against other teams like Liverpool, Warrington, Wolves and that. So that's how it really worked, to be fair.
What position? So midfield, what type of midfielder?
You couldn't
go to Everton in the community and say, I want to model my game on Gerrard, could you?
No. I didn't even say nothing about Gerrard. Well, I used to cover my fads up because I was a Liverpool fan. I didn't want to be wearing Everton.
What was it like putting the Everton kit on for the first time?
Well, my dad, I remember him, my dad telling me the first time that he got me into Everton, I started crying. Like, no.
I always remember the first time I had to put the Liverpool kit on. I must have been 12 or 13. Because we didn't really used to play games, really. You were just training once a week. And the first time we had this game, and everyone knew I was a massive Everton fan, and I put the kit on. And not the kit, it was just the shirt, actually. You had your own shorts and socks. And I looked a bit funny, as if, like, putting this on. Yeah. I mentioned the manager saying to me straight away, don't you want to put it on? And I shit myself. I went, no, I'm all right. You could tell right away, put me right on the spot on the bottle there. But that's the way it was anyway. So go on, back to your career.
So
how did it go for Everton?
It was all right, can't remember winning much. I think we probably won a couple of, leagues or the tournaments that we had. It was all right. It was good. We played at Wally Hall Park. We played in there for a bit, and then we moved up to Arches then. I was there for a good 6 years. It was bossed early, and then obviously Ricey, he's John Rice, who one of the founders of the inclusion here, Beetle Box Inclusion, got in touch with me dad and was saying basically he's starting up an inclusion team. And because he obviously...
That the thing, was you here then when I... Was that about 6 months ago I come here?
The big festival thing?
Yeah,
I was here, yeah.
Yeah.
Playing with the under-16s then. But at the time when I first joined, it was... I think I'd only left Everton about 3 months.
So you're still playing footy now?
Yeah. I still come all the... I was every Saturday.
So the Bootle... inclusion thing. So is that like a proper team and plays games, or is it just your training?
So we train of a Saturday, but with me, I play with the adults. Although I'm 15, I play with the adults, and we play games of a Saturday. But it's like I said, it's like only like tournaments. So it's like Saturday, I think it's once a month we play, or under 16s, it's another once a month, but it's a Wednesday night. So it's training's usually of a Saturday. It's been at Bootle, but at the minute, because I think the pitch is in greatest condition, it's up at the Knack.
The Knack?
Yeah.
Oh, that brings back memories, the Knack. I used to play there.
What memories did you have there then?
We played there for the Brunny. It was the summer league, the Knack.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the activity centre, yeah. I had some good memories there, actually. That's when my son first started playing.
James, that was like, so
it was like, I'm not sure the guy's name. Is it McNally up there or somebody? He got all the kids together. No, it was Mick McNally. And my dad just took James up there. And that's where he started. So it's brilliant, isn't it, for the footy and the kids.
It's got like the big pitch at the back, but then they've got about, I think, 4 or 5 Astro cages.
Yeah, but they never had nothing like that when we were there with the Astro and all that. But it's right by the Eden Vale, isn't it?
Yeah, right. They're literally opposite the pub, to be fair. So obviously, you're saying we went to Liverpool at 9 or 10. Did you get scouted or did you get picked up while you were playing for the Merton?
No, it was for Bootle Boys.
Bootle Boys, yeah.
Yeah, I can still picture it now. We were in the dressing room at St George of England School, which was a senior school in Bootle. But we used to train there on a Friday night for Bootle Boys.
Yeah.
And when we come to the dressing room and the training on the Friday, the manager just said 4 years ago going up to Liverpool, me, Paul Joyce, John Stannard and Stephen Gould. And it just went from there. And John Stannard, to be fair, he ended up going all the way to Liverpool Reserves.
Right.
Joycey, I think got released when he was about 16. And Gould, he was an urchin, shall we say. He was probably never going to last.
Oh, God. So as a youngster, you used to go and watch your dad's team. He'd done the Merton Villa, the seniors.
Mm.
So watching your dad's team, did that... Like, did that help you a lot as a player, watching all the lads down there?
Whether it helped me as a player, but it helped me understanding of football. I think just being around men, listening to them speak in the dressing room on the way to the game, you know, they'd all be in the back of the van. My dad'd have a big lorry and everyone would be sat in the back, you know, sat in the back of it. and I'd just be sat in the back with them. So it'd be like 10 or 15 fellas in the back of this sort of wagon going up to Brookvale or Chaffers. That's where that, I felt like a lot of the games were, or Buckley Hill. And just listening, just being in the dressing room, kicking the ball in at half time, all those type of things. And he must be in relation to yours, Joe Symes.
Joe Symes, there's about five in our family. Honestly, there's so many.
Well, I remember Joe and Frank Symes.
Frank, yeah, I know Frank.
So Frank used to play in midfield or at right back.
Mm.
And Joe used to play either centre forward or left wing.
Yeah.
And so I always remember my dad on the line. He had a big duffel coat and he'd be on at the players and he'd always be telling Joe how great he was because he was the goal scorer. He was like the flair player.
Yeah.
If you like, for the team. So they used to play on a Saturday and Sunday would be Merton Villa, but I think it was just the same lads as well. So
yeah,
there was a good representation of your family in those teams. So the Carras always liked the Symes. They always picked them anyway. They were always in the team.
Yeah.
Joe and Frank, yeah. So I always remember them as a kid, yeah. And, you know, all the other names. And well, that's where I saw, obviously, Billy Locke played then. Yeah, Big Jacko at the back. I think Smigger was in goal. Paul Bucco. Dent up front. Just trying to think. Butler in midfield. Terry McDonough, he was a great player on the left wing. Billy Webb up front. I'm just trying to remember all these names. I hope I don't miss things, isn't it? Because you know this podcast is going everywhere, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is.
This going viral, isn't it?
You can't be forgetting.
So
anyone.
I can't forget anyone. Who else played my dad's team? Jose Baxter's dad played for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
Andy Baxter. He's a good striker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, remember him. Joe Bailey in midfield, I remember him.
Dad's cousin, I think.
Is it?
If Bailey related yeah, to me, yeah. Dad, I've heard the name.
I'm just trying to think of positions. John Dry.
All right.
He would have played. Jad Dry, yeah. Jacko at the back, I've mentioned him. Apologies if I've missed anyone. I don't well remember that, though, haven't I?
Nah, I just think you've
never. Nearly 40 them. Years ago, them teams.
Right. So playing in them teams, the Bootle Boys, Merton Villa, growing up in them teams, was there anyone that made it professional or made it to at least a very good standard?
Well, I just mentioned John Stannard. He got to Liverpool reserves level. I don't know if John ended up making it as a pro or played lower league or non-league. I think it was more non-league. But I think he got wages out of it.
Yeah.
So he did okay. The Bootle Boys team, no. And then what was the other team you said? So on the Merton?
The Merton Villa, yeah.
No, the Bootle Boys standard was always a bit better than Sunday League. So the best Sunday League players normally play for Bootle or Liverpool. But no, I come up against a few just, you know, through the years, the players that you come up against rather than the ones that I played with, really. But I mean, this city's unbelievable, isn't it? For bringing, you know, players through, it'll yeah. always happen, always does and always will.
Yeah, so Bootle in general, was there any, who's the best player to come out of Bootle?
Well, I'll tell you one, my brother-in-law, John Hart, Nicola's brother, he was at Liverpool until he was about 10 or 11,
uh-huh.
and it was him and Stephen Wright, who were the two best players. Now, Stephen Wright obviously went on to play for Liverpool, and unfortunately he got meningitis at a really young age.
Wow.
Yeah, and it obviously really, you know, stunted his, certainly his football ambitions. He come to the gym with me a couple of weeks ago anyway, so he's still having a go, but he would have been a great footballer, there's no doubt about that. I mean, my dad talks about a lot of players who he sort of managed and who could have sort of made it. He talked about Billy McGee, another fella, Elson, I think he went to sort of West Brom, I think he played with Brian Robson.
Yeah.
Just trying to think. But you like Ronnie Moran and Roy Evans.
Yeah.
They were born in Bootle. So I think Steve McManaman, I think, was born in Bootle. I think he didn't go to school in Bootle. I think he went to
Kirkdale,
yeah, but I think he was born in Bootle. So there's a long list ahead of me, put it that way.
Yeah. I know Ronnie's son as well, Paul, because he does the photography, yeah?
Yeah. He always puts the pictures on, don't he, the social media.
Yeah,
his lad used to be a goalie for Bootle?
Dave. I remember when he was in goal when I first started to come and watch.
Was he, yeah?
Yeah.
What was he like?
Nah, to be fair.
What you start laughing for? No, you're gonna be listening.
No. Nah, to be fair, he was a goalkeeper. He was solid.
Yeah.
But we all early teams where he did have some really, really good players, strong Bootle players as well.
Yeah.
From round the Bootle area, Jamie A.
Oh, Jamie A, what a player Jamie A is. Is he still going, Jamie
he
A?
Plays football for the, wise. Plays for the Emmy.
Is he still playing for the Remy?
Plays for the Remy, yeah.
What? How old is Jamie? Well, don't tell me how old he is. If I'm 44, Mark's a year below me. Mark must be 43. Jamie must be 41.
I don't know, something like that.
40, 41.
Yeah, well, he left. Well,
he's a brutal legend, isn't he, Jamie A?
Oh, yeah, he played here for years.
Who's the biggest legend, Jamie A or Neil McQueen?
Queenie? No, I'm just saying his name. No! Nah, Queenie, he was a player. So was Jamie. Do you know what? I don't know. I can't pick. They both were legends.
Yeah.
But we had some others as well. We had some other really good players. Go on then. Tyke Carbery.
Oh,
Mike
no.
Carbery. Chris Tyson.
Oh, yeah. Anyone from Marsh Lane, Bootle?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, really.
So it's a toss-up between Jamie A and Neil McQueen. So if I go in the Solly...
Yeah, it probably will have to be a toss-up.
I might have to debate this on Monday Night Football, you know. Jamie A or Neil McQueen, get your votes in.
Nah. Nah, they were both absolutely class players, to be fair. But we had a really good team. Always were up there in the counties, but never got promoted for some reason. I think it's just, but I don't know, we always did that. You seem to have a good team, but just never ever got up. And then recently we've got a really good team now.
Bootle are back.
I think we could, well,
there's some crowd here. I was here about, what game was I here for?
Witness.
What was that, about a month ago? 2 or 3 weeks, what was it?
It was the end of March, so yeah, but maybe about just over 4 weeks
I'll
ago.
I tell you what, there's a good crowd here. What's the crowd now, Bootle?
I think regular now it's 400 like, or 500 or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been getting recently. But the other week, or about 2 weeks ago, we played Marine at home. And
you're behind the goal, aren't you?
I'm behind the goal.
Yeah, you're giving the opposition goalie a load of shite. Is that you?
If I speak, I'm in big trouble. No, that's...
Well, I remember Bootle at Coppy Lane.
Yeah, that was the old
years ago,
there,
yeah. Yeah. We used to play our cup finals there for the Merton. We used to watch Bootle play there, yeah. Yeah. Police station there now.
Madness. I mean, obviously, I weren't even born when we even were Coppy Lane, but I know it was like talking to fans and that. It is iconic ground.
Yeah.
So, Savio at secondary school, did you ever play for the team there, or was Liverpool like keen to just keep you for themselves, didn't let you play?
No, it wasn't as strict then with the clubs, where the clubs took over and stopped people playing for the schools and stuff. So, no, I used to play for Savio in the first year and the first 3 years. And then I started playing for Sefton.
Yeah.
That was in the fourth. Oh, God, was that? No, that was the third year. So I played first year and second year for Savio. And we used to play on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And the schools we used to play was, all the schools, we used to play De La Salle.
Yeah.
And that was the school. I think Rooney went there, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, like, Mick Watson, straight from the off, I heard that De La Salle, it always pops up a lot as, like, yeah, it's a top footballing school.
I'm not sure if Franny Jeffers went there, because I know he's around that area, but we played against some good players. Mick Moore, who ends up playing against me, played with me at Liverpool in the youth team and stuff. They were in that school. So, I mean, it wasn't a great standard at secondary school, if I'm being totally honest. We weren't great, so I used to get frustrated a lot playing in that team. So if I'm being honest, I was quite pleased when I was able to go with Sefton and play with a lot of lads there. So, yeah, but no, it's in a great school. We had, I mentioned Mr. Oak before, didn't I? So we had another teacher who was right into his football, Mike Dickinson, who I think is still involved at Everton now.
Ah, right.
So he was another Evertonian, but it was good. Listen, it's a St. James's and Savio, you know, they're right in the heart of Bootle.
Yeah.
Tough schools, they're pretty lively, but, you know, massive love of football.
Yeah, so before you made your debut at Liverpool in 1996, can you tell us a bit about your early Liverpool career? So you were part of the Youth Cup winning team against West Ham, was it?
Yeah.
And Lillyshaw as well?
Yeah, so Lillyshaw was before, when was Lillyshaw then? So I did 3 years at Savio, and then my last 2 years were... I went to Lillyshaw.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. It was just going away to like a school. Now, my daughter's just done it. She's just coming back now. She's been away to a performing arts school. And I was devastated when she went. But I knew it was a brilliant experience for her. Because I kept going back to, you know, the mates we've still got now. And we got together at the 25th anniversary, basically, since we left. Yeah. So we left in 94, I think. So we all come to Liverpool for a couple of nights out. Went to Bongo's Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been?
No,
but you've got to get there. You've got to go to Bongo's.
We had one. Well, the day after the festival. But like, I was going away the next day. Like,
what do you mean? So the Bongo, like, in here, or actually the one in town?
No, they do them in here because they're our sponsors, aren't they? Well, they sponsor the kit, don't they?
Yeah.
So when we had the tournament, we had the big thing up there. Didn't
Had John's festival.
Yeah, oh, well, they had the big, like, tent.
Yeah, the big tent, that was for our John, his running club, wasn't it? My brother's John, he put the, that up. Or was that something else?
Marsh Lane Arias,
yeah, that's our John's running club, so that was a good night. Did you pop your head in there?
I think I was here with me, Ma, and that. Because there was a game on the pitch as well, I remember Custies, I think, were playing. There was a team on the pitch playing anyway, and then there was the big thing, the big tent up there.
He's already booked it for next year as well. He sent me the date. It's the day before or the day of the first game of the season, August the 6th. So, God knows what state I'll be on Sky the next day. So, Little Show was brilliant. I'm just trying to think of the players you might remember. Do you remember Gavin McCann played for Sunderland and Everton a little bit?
Gavin McCann, I'm not like that name.
Ray Clements' son, Stephen Clements, he played a little bit Premier League, he played with us.
That's Stephen Lawrence, I think that's someone
else. He was a midfield player. The problem is, we're getting older now, so people are remembering less and less what we did, or the players I played with, unfortunately, but no, brilliant set of lads. And then Liverpool, the Youth Cup, we played against the Everton manager now. Frank Lampard.
Lampard.
Rio Ferdinand. They was in the West Ham team. And we had little top Michael Owen. So Michael played for us. So, yeah, it was really good. And big memory, that. Yeah, really big memory. And it really helped me get into the first team because we won the Youth Cup. It was a big thing to win at that stage.
Mm. So, 96, Jan 96 especially, was a boss month for you. You've made your first appearance for Liverpool was a quarter final. Well, they say it's Aston Villa, but I think the first official one was Middlesbrough in the quarter final of the League Cup. Then you came on a second half sub against West Ham. Your first start, well, your first official debut was against Aston Villa in the 3-0 win, and you went and scored yourself. So, weren't a bad month for you at all. So, what can you tell me about those three occasions?
Well, the first one at Middlesbrough, I knew I'd be involved or have a good chance of making me debut because there's a couple of injuries and different things. So come on, I had a bit of a shot in my left foot. Robbie Fowler got in the way of it. So hopefully, probably should have scored, really, if he hadn't got in the way. But we got beat. We then played West Ham at home.
Yeah.
0-0. Slaven Bilic was playing for West Ham, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In the game. So I actually played midfield with John Barnes. So I come on sub at half-time and I'm there playing with John Byrne. I think back now, I was thinking that I was stood in the Gladys Street when he bent that shot in that goal. You won't remember the 4-4 game of the most famous derbies. I always think back of things like that, thinking I was watching him and what a player John Barnes was, and he's putting that one of the best goals I've ever seen at Goodison, and he ends up playing with him in midfield. You know, it's just these mad like things that happen, and you know, very lucky in your life that you're playing against someone as good as him. And then I had the Aston Villa game, they hadn't got the goal. I made everyone believe they had a great goal scorer in midfield. Everyone thought, didn't they? Going to the pub that night, going to the Arkles, going to 12th man. Oh, we've got this young kid, he gets loads of goals from midfield, Carragher.
Well, you were a striker, weren't you?
I know, exactly.
You were a goal scorer.
Yeah, so it was, you need a little bit of luck, got your chance, you got to take your chance, and then, you know, I was lucky it went on from there.
Yeah, so you made 27 appearances for England at under 21 level. I think that was 96 when you made your debut there, and that was at the time when you were starting at Liverpool. And then you made your senior debut against Hungary.
But you know what's special about that?
What's special about that?
It was on this day.
Wow.
Today?
I seen it on Instagram before. I was going through. I've seen that.
Someone sent me it. I didn't have a clue. Someone sent me it this morning on this day. I made my debut in 1999 for the full England team away in Hungary. There was a lot. There was a load of injuries, and a few of us got called up. I think I come on sub for Rio Ferdinand, I think. I think we drew 1-1 in Hungary. Yeah. So it was. It was. My dad was there. I think he went with Bucco, Alfie Grant. Yeah, they got the late shout to get over there. So it was a nice one to tick off. But I love the under 21s more than playing for the full team.
Yeah, I think he played 38 appearances for the first team, but your full debut was at White Hart Lane against Holland in 2001.
I didn't even know that.
It's on here.
I played midfield. Yeah, I remember the game. I think we might have got beat 2-0, but I played midfield at White Hart Lane. Yeah, yeah. I think Sven would have been the manager then.
2001. Yeah, probably
centre midfield. Yeah, but no, the under 21s was good. The full England team, I can't say I fully loved it, and that was probably part down to me and part because we probably didn't do that well, you know, when we were playing as such. But the under 21s, I was like the vice captain. I used to room with Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
So me and him were roommates. He was the captain. I was the vice captain. So we had 2 or 3 years there together. So that's why I've got a good relationship with Mr. Lampard, even though he is the Everton manager.
But like, yeah, like you say, but to say in the England, the under 21s, England 21s, the first team, but around that time, it was meant to be like one of the best England teams, on like the golden generation, but they never seemed to perform. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, when people say the golden generation, there was some great players, and I think it's right to give it in some ways that title. But the Brazilian team at that time, or the French team, was still better. You know, they still had better players.
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, it's not like that we came up against them and lost, like sort of in a final or something. I think there was a World Cup I missed out on that, you know, England got to the quarters and got beat by Brazil.
Yeah.
I think that was 2002. But yeah, I just think, you know, sometimes we say those players were great players, and they were, but they still never produced at that level, so you've still got to do it. And we look at the squad now and we say, oh, they're not as good as those ones, but those players are doing it. They've done it.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to the final, they've got to, what are they, one penalty kick away from winning something for England. And so it's okay to keep looking back and saying how great these players are, but they never did it at that level. They did it at different levels at the clubs and Champions League, but when you're actually talking for England, the players then weren't better than the players now for England because the players now have done it.
Yeah. I think making your debut in 2001 set the scene for what was another great year for you. 5 trophies with Liverpool under the legendary Gerard Houllier. What a manager he was, and God bless his soul. So can you tell us a bit about that season then?
Loved it. My favourite season. I think Liverpool now, this Liverpool team, are on the verge of doing something. I'll give you a little quiz question.
Oh, go on then.
No other team
okay.
in English football has ever done what that team did.
Yeah.
And this Liverpool team, if they get past Villarreal, will have done it as well.
Okay. I don't know.
So it's not even just about winning stuff. It's like, so what have they done? Think about the cups. What have they done in the cups?
Got to a final, everyone.
Yeah, so what does that then mean? So what did we do? So we... You're not getting this one, are you?
I'm not getting it at all, no.
So basically, when the season starts and the fixture list comes out...
Yeah.
The Liverpool team of 2000-2001...
Yeah.
...are the only team to ever play every single game that they could play. You understand what I mean? So, because you get to all the cup finals.
So, like every single possible game you can play in a season, you've played, yeah.
Yeah. So, no one's done that before. So, no one's ever got to 3 finals in the same season.
Yeah, I know.
So, we did that in 2001. This Liverpool team now, you know, fingers crossed. You know, they've got 1 foot in the final, I think, after the result last night. But
last night, yeah.
So, they'll have achieved that, and hopefully they'll go on and, you know, get the 3 cups, the league. And,
yeah.
And whatever it may be. So it was an amazing season because a lot of those players had never won anything before, including myself. A lot of the supporters had not really, you know, the 80s was great for Liverpool, obviously, and then 1990 we won the league, and then the next sort of, you know, 10 years or so was not what you'd normally expect for Liverpool.
Yeah.
So a lot of people watching that season, it was like the first time they'd seen Liverpool win. Certainly kids who were, you know, in the teenage years who couldn't remember the 80s. So it was a special time to be a Liverpool supporter and Liverpool player at that time, and I think we sort of kick-started all those big European nights again. And you know, we played Barcelona in the semi-final, we played Roma, we played Porto, to win the UEFA Cup. So it was pretty special. And then the European nights really kicked on from there. So it was a great time. A lot of young lads in there. Michael, Stevie, Danny Murphy. Robbie was involved as well. So a lot of, you know, local players as well. So it was good to have a few of the lads involved as well.
Yeah, obviously, except for Liverpool fans who rate Gerard Houllier to like one of the highest regards. Do you think in general, do you think he gets enough credit for that season?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't get enough credit in general for the job he did at Liverpool. I think he set us on the way, and obviously then Rafa comes in after that. But to win a European trophy was pretty special. To be the first manager to get us in the Champions League. And we were in a real low ebb, really, when you know, Gerard Houllier came in. And he completely sort of turned around the football club. And again, I don't think he does get enough credit. Won, I think, 4 trophies as a manager. He won the Carling Cup a few years later against Man United in a final. He had a great record over Everton, because when Gerard Houllier came in, we couldn't beat Everton.
Oh, no.
We had Joe Royal had a record of, I think he was Everton manager for 2.5 years, and he never lost a derby. You know, so that was like, I think he played, Joe Royal must have played 5 or 6 derby games and never lost, and they used to bully us. And so that all changed with Gerard Houllier coming in as well. These little things, beating Man United as well as the trophies. So, yeah, it was a huge influence on my career, and I don't think I'd achieved anything like that without him.
Yeah, in your autobiography, you stated that you felt very close to Gerard. So what was, in general, what was your time playing under him? Like, probably one of the, your favourite Liverpool manager, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, him and Benitez, I mean, I played my best football under Benitez. I probably enjoyed it as, like, you know, playing with my mates, if you like, or the, you know, the lads I got on with or I still speak to now, in 2001. So, yeah, it was good, and I still think back to that season, and it brings back memories of what Liverpool is doing now in terms of doing really well in the cups and, you know, all the big cup finals. And I was trying to get tickets for other people in those ones, and now I'm trying to get tickets myself. So it's full circle.
Sounds. So then Gerard leaves in 2004, and Rafa, who had such success in at Valencia, winning, I think, got to 2 Champions League finals, won UEFA Cup as well, comes in with his own idea, and year after 2005, the rest is history. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, what do you say about that game?
I know.
It was mad, wasn't it? I mean, what year were you born?
06.
Oh.
So I didn't even, I didn't see it.
Well, you've watched it, haven't you?
Oh, I've watched the two finals we played over AC Milan. I've got them, but watched them both on there.
I've never watched the second one.
No, I've watched them both on a DVD.
Yeah.
My dad got me them.
Yeah, it's just... the second one was too painful, but the first one makes up for it. Yeah, it was just... I mean, their team's unbelievable, isn't it?
AC Milan. Oh, wow.
Some of the names and the players, and couldn't believe we were there, really. I mean, the semi-final against Chelsea was almost like a final because, you know, they were so much better than us, and to beat them and, you know, the atmosphere that, you know, the lads have now, that's what I think... I wouldn't say I don't mean me, but I mean the team of that time of Houllier and Benitez. I think we really started that European night thing, because even in years before, you know, the great teams who won everything,
yeah.
I still don't think there was that many great European nights at Anfield. I think there was obviously St Etienne in the 70s, the 60s, they had Inter Milan, but there's not that many great nights, maybe because they were that good.
Yeah,
that Liverpool team, that they just got the job done. And I think there's probably a lot more bigger names in the European Cup now because there's so many more teams in it, you know, top 4 of different countries. So I think that Houllier Benitez time really lifted sort of Anfield with those European nights, and it's been taken on now with Klopp, and then we get to the final. And I mean, it's just unbelievable, really, to think that I was part of that game.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes you're lucky to be in the right place at the right time, and I think that was the case with me. It was it's a final that not just Liverpool fans love, but, you know, if you mentioned Istanbul and you went to anywhere in the world and you were spoken to someone who knew a bit about football, everyone remembers Istanbul.
Yeah.
And that's all you need, that one word, Istanbul, and people just, you know, take you right to it. Exactly. And as I said, I was just very lucky to be part of that, and privileged, really, to be part of something that Liverpool supporters and the club probably recognise as one of the greatest nights in the club's history.
We were 3-0 down at half time, probably one of the best sides in world football. Kaká, Crespo in every single position, decorated players. But I heard something, was it true that the fans, You'll Never Walk Alone, singing outside, is that what got the players going?
Yeah, oh definitely, yeah. I mean, we were obviously underneath the stadium, we couldn't hear it like you would do on the pitch, but you could almost hear it in the distance,
really.
And we were just going through our tactical chats and what we had to change, what we had to do. Rafa was all over the place in the dressing room because of the commotion. Didi Man was coming on, someone else was getting in the shower, they had to get taken back out the shower. That was Jimmy Traore. Finnan was saying he wanted to play on, even though the physio said he was injured, so there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then you heard the crowd singing that just before you go out, so it gave us a massive boost, it really did. It was, but that's what it's about, isn't it, Liverpool Football Club?
Yeah. But you're saying there about players thinking to play and going in the shower and that, that must have been one of Rafa's strengths. If he's just to think, click, if make us go back out second half with all that, he must be really good at thinking on the spot straight away like that.
He was brilliant at that tactically, he really was, Rafa. That's Rafa's big thing. It wasn't about giving big speeches, but he was really clever, making big decisions on the spot, and he was worried about Steve Finnan carrying on and then having to come off injured, and he knew he'd waste one of his subs. So to, you think of that pressure moment, you know, to make those decisions under that pressure, you know, 3-0 down.
Yeah.
They were massive decisions that, you know, we can talk about, you know, the supporters, you can talk about the players on the pitch, a little bit of luck here and there, and but the role of the manager at half time was obviously pivotal to the game.
Mm. So then one of the most one of the best comebacks in a Champions League
one
final. But people make arguments for it, don't they? But I don't see one at all, really, to be one of the best. Obviously, you could say Man United 1999.
Oh, behave.
No, I'm saying that's one of the arguments, and I wouldn't say.
Don't give Gary Neville any credit.
I would give him credit.
That was a boring game. It just livened up in the last 2 minutes.
Funny brought Ollie, all their favourite now.
Yeah. Oh.
But 2 years later, 2007, same opponents, but unfortunately it was a different outcome. But watching back, like I said, watching back on DVDs, I thought on the second game, although the first game was bossing the comeback and that, but I thought we even played better in the second game ourselves, really.
Well, we were a better team, a much better team, and they weren't as good. So it was almost like a 50-50 game, really, where they were massive favourites, I think, in the first one. And I think we were confident. I don't think we were that confident going into the first one. It was more like, you know, let's see what happens. And the second one, I thought, yeah, we had a decent chance. Beat Chelsea again in the semi-finals. We thought it was a little omen. But no, listen, they had great players. You know, still a great player, great manager, Carlo Ancelotti, who could still face Liverpool again.
Yeah.
In the final.
Fingers crossed for us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you've watched more of it than me. You probably remember more of it than me, to be honest. So it's hard when you lose a Champions League final. It really is. It's that much of a build-up. You realise it's life-changing. I think winning a European Cup, I think it's bigger than the league. I know the league for us was huge until we finally got our hands on it under Klopp and the lads. But, you know, the European Cup is...
magic.
Yeah, it's where, you know, there's legendary names play and are made. And, yeah, it's a blow to lose one.
Yeah, I think 2-0 down at 80 minutes and Crouch came on. Well, I was watching if Crouch came on and well, we scored the goal after that then. Was it there?
Should have brought him on earlier, shouldn't he?
That's what my dad's been saying it was a mistake maybe not playing Crouch from the start. Or
maybe, yeah.
Bringing him on earlier.
Did your dad go to any of them?
He went to, I don't think he went to 05 or 07. I don't know, actually. No, we watched the 05 one in the shoe.
Well, we've just come in. I didn't realise your dad was Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your dad, I used to watch him play for the cricket team.
Yeah, he used to play for Bootle Cricket.
Yeah, and that was, again, the Sam's just ran everything, didn't you? So there was 2 years in the football team. In the cricket team, there was...
My granddad and the dogs.
Bob. So it was Jimmy. There's a grey-haired fella with glasses, Sam's.
Might be my granddad on the docks.
Was it?
Yeah, it was my granddad.
Yeah, so you're everywhere, mate. I think Frank played for the cricket team as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a bad bowler, your dad?
He tells you loads of stories about it.
Mark Seagraves used to play. Has he told you about Mark Seagraves?
He's my cousin.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He was my dad's. Yeah.
So he played for Liverpool. So I'll tell you a story about Mark. So Mark, he was playing for the cricket team, obviously in the summer.
Mm.
for the Bruny cricket team when obviously the season had finished. And now and again, you get people running on getting his autograph and that. So he was like Liverpool reserves, but he played a few games.
Yeah.
And I always remember his very first game for Liverpool was QPR away.
In the Cup, wasn't it?
On the Cup.
Yeah.
And that was live on BBC. I think it was a Friday night game, but it was the League Cup. Mm. And QPR used to have a plastic pitch in those days.
Yeah.
Them and Luton used to have a plastic pitch. And I remember watching that game and my dad saying to me, this is the first and last time we will ever support Liverpool, but we have to support Liverpool tonight.
My boy, it wasn't your last time, was it?
I know, we didn't know then, did we? Yeah, and unfortunately they got beat on the night, 1-0 on that game. I'm not sure how many more games Mark played, actually, but they actually, because they lost the replay as well, or they drew the second leg.
Second leg.
And QPR, I think, played Oxford in the final. Oxford beat them. Aldridge and Ray Houghton involved. But yeah, so that was my first time. And he used to play for the cricket team, or my first time supporting Liverpool. So he used to play for the cricket team. So you're related then?
Seagraves, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's in relation to my dad. I think he's my dad's cousin.
Yeah.
He's over in India now. I done a pod with him a couple of months ago, yeah.
That go viral?
It went big, like. I got loads of viewers from India, like.
Yeah. No, well, he was the first. Well, my dad, he's, as I said, I think he went to our school, Savio. It was Silesian then.
Yeah.
He was from Silesian, yeah. So he was the first. So I certainly can't say I was the first. Mark Seagraves had that mantle.
Bad sound. So a couple of years, obviously, after 2007, your playing career was going boss. And then 2009 came and you started your own foundation there. JC 23 Foundation. I think what was the idea of setting that up?
Well, that was me. So I made my debut for Liverpool. What was it, about 96, 97? And so 10. It was your testimonial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I went to have my testimonial game. Yeah. So it was around. We started that then, and yeah, it was just about, you know, I think you have to give the money away. I could understand years ago, when players had a testimonial and it was a chance to make a few quid.
Yeah.
And rightly so, because they obviously weren't getting the wages that the players got now. But no, I was just, I was never going to keep the money. I didn't need to. I was very lucky. And yeah, I decided to put in the foundation. I was actually just going to give it away to charity. But
yeah,
a mate of mine, Paul Flanagan, he explained that, you know, the concept of a foundation and how it works. And I thought, well, okay, it's there forever, basically.
Yeah.
So that was a nice thing to do. So we basically got that set up. We called it the 23 Foundation because I didn't want it to be called the Jamie Carragher Foundation, about just all about me, because I wanted it to be, you know, my number, basically. So that's the link. So we've continued to call it the 23 Foundation, and it's been going now. We've had a 10-year anniversary, didn't it? Mm. Was that about 12 months ago? 12, 18 months ago we had that, I think. A couple of years, something. And so we've raised a few quid. We've done okay with it, yeah. It's gone quite well.
I know you've had a couple of Christmas parties here. I've been to, I think I went being 2 or 3 here.
Yeah.
Well,
what toy did you get?
Barbie doll. I came to a couple of them here. They were belter like.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, then you had your testimonial. I think it was an Everton team.
Yeah, it was an Everton team. And we had to do it in an international break because, would you believe, The American owners that we had before, these ones, Hicks and Gillette,
oh, yeah.
Normally a testimonial would be a pre-season game.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to lose out on the money, so a pre-season game at Anfield would, they'd probably make, I don't know, £1 million.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to lose out on that money, so they didn't want me to have a testimonial then, so I had to have it in the international break. And credit to Everton and David Moyes, actually. David Moyes brought a team up because I thought the money is staying in the city.
Yeah.
I was an Everton fan as a kid. It'd be nice to be able to get Everton. So David Moyes was a big help in organising that. Mm. And we had a lot of reserves. Stevie came back from international duty, played, and a few of the Everton players who were in the international teams played in it and that. So it was just a great night. We had the game, then we had a bit of a night, a bit of a gala dinner to raise some money as well. Yeah. So it was a good little weekend.
I think I remember watching highlights. I don't know if I watched the game. Probably did, to be fair. Or watching it. It was, I think, 4-1 it was, and you scored the penalty. I don't know.
I scored for Everton, didn't I?
Yeah.
I took a pen. Yeah, they could do it with me now, then.
I think they could do it with anyone, to be honest.
I'd always dreamed of scoring for Everton, hadn't I? So I had to
do it.
Had to do it.
Delta. So 2013 came, 737 appearances you made. You announced your retirement after being at Liverpool since you were nine. Why did you want to call time on your career?
For some reason, I always had in my head 35 is the sort of age that you retire. You know, in some ways, you know, my football career finishes at 35. But playing for Liverpool, I didn't want to play for anyone else. Yeah. I wanted to be a one-club man.
Yeah.
And the position I played is not a position that you can't be brought on as a sub. You can't be taken off. Most other positions you can. Yeah. You know, so if you're not playing every week, you might think, oh, I'll get on and get 20 minutes at the end, or that would never happen at centre-back. And it's a position that if you don't play well, there's a good chance the team can lose.
Yeah.
If your centre-backs, I always remember Ronnie Moran saying that to me. If your two centre-backs play well, no matter what else happens in a game, you've got a great chance of winning the game.
Yeah.
They are a bedrock that you build from your centre-backs for a successful team. And when you're not at your best, or you're at a certain age when you're not going to be at your best,
yeah,
and you can, you're not helping, not so much not helping the team, but you could affect the team. The team could be doing great, I make one mistake and we lose the game.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that for myself. I didn't want it for the support, the club, you know, that feeling of supporters thinking, oh, Jamie Carragher's playing today. You know, that, and I didn't want anyone to ever think that. They might have thought it beforehand, I don't know, but I didn't want me to start thinking that as well. So I thought it was a nice time to finish.
And your final appearance came on the last game of the season, obviously against QPR at home.
Mm.
It was a 1-0. I think I was.
Yeah.
Who scored? Was Coutinho?
Coutinho scored.
And
yeah.
You hit a 40-yarder off the post.
Yeah. I think you've had another 10 yards on that.
Okay.
I always had another 5 on it.
Yeah, I'll get another
40. I'll take 40. I just hit it. You know what? I wouldn't have hit that unless, because it was my last game. So I think of all the times I was in those positions and I've thought, oh, I'll make a pass or do whatever. I thought, oh, the last game. It's only Rob Green in goal. And just hit the post. I mean, I'd love that to have gone in. Oh, and I think to score on your first game and then your last game would have been lovely, wouldn't it? I'd have had to just walk off, wouldn't I? Last touch at Anfield, scoring at the Cop. Would have been amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, what was the reception at Anfield? Was bouncing, but obviously must have been, mm-hmm. must have been absolutely rocking. So what was that like, getting that last appearance and walking out on Anfield for the last time as a player?
It was, people say, I was glad it was over.
Yeah.
In some ways, because I was, hang on, I was so worried about making a mistake, giving a penalty away, getting sent off, you know, just something stupid on your last game, that you go, oh, Jamie Carragher's last game, this happens. I was delighted we got a clean sheet. I was delighted we won. Nothing went wrong. And it was just a nice way to go out, really. And it was like a relief when I'd finished and, you know, I'd done all I'd done. And I was really proud of what I'd done for the club.
Yeah.
But it was nice to sort of finish and go out on a little high.
On a high, yeah. And then after the season, after you 13-14, went into Sky Sports doing punditry.
Yeah.
Was that a progression you always wanted to go into as soon as you finished?
I mean, it was always coaching or the punditry. I was always going to stay involved in football. I love the game too much. I think about it constantly. I'm opinionated. I do, you know, I'm not shy with my views, and that's not to do with being on the TV now. I was like that in the dressing room. I was like that on the pitch. I was always onto referees or my own teammates. So I've always been very passionate, you know, about the game. So before you get to that, when did you start going to the game? Did you watch many of my games before the end, or was it that sort of last season?
I think my first ever game was that season. It was not actually a 1-0. I remember we played Reading at home at Anfield. Sterling scored. I think it was either Sterling or Jordan Ibe or someone like that.
Mm.
So I think I watched a fair few games that season. I did watch a couple of y'all and last games of the season.
Were you at Cop Eyes?
No, I don't know where I was actually. I think I remember the Reading one. I was in the Annie Road.
Okay.
Up at Annie Road, but I loved the Cop. I was, well, until the all the COVID. I used to have a cups game, so I used to go all the cup games. Sometimes, well, most of my Champions League ones were actually in the cop.
I need to go in the cop, actually. My son goes in the cop all the time. I've never been in the cop as a Liverpool fan. I've been as an Everton fan as a kid. Used to get up there in the standing up one. That's I'm going to do that next season. Do you think? You come with me?
I'll come with you. If you get a ticket, I'll come with you.
Yeah, don't you be a kid? Get me a ticket. You're more famous than me after this.
I can't get tickets.
You know Curtis and Robbo? All right, that's a date. Done.
Sound. So seeing how well the lad's done the next season, obviously going into punditry with Sky Sports with Gary Neville, going off top of there. So obviously talking about the punditry. So going into punditry, what was like the first year like going into Sky Sports? Because I know for some certain person it didn't go very well, did it? Gary Neville. That told off him in a grey suit or something.
Yeah. It was that one where he interviews with Mancini, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's never thought you'd see me, yeah.
Hi, Roberto.
Hello, Philip.
I'm going to have to make sure he listens to this.
I'll get him on.
Yeah, we'll get him on. It was good, yeah. I mean, I love footy. I mean, if I look back, I probably cringe at some of the things that, you know, you get better, don't you? You get more experience, you get more, you know, understanding what the role's about a little bit more. But listen, I just went on, tried to be myself, obviously made mistakes here and there, but then you obviously get, you know, people helping you, through Sky, and then still there today. So, no, it was brilliant with Gary. You can have a laugh, both passionate about the footy.
Yeah.
He's Man United, I love him, so I think they like pitting us together.
Yeah.
The two of us, yeah. But so what do you watch, what do you enjoy?
Well, obviously I love watching the Saturday night footy, Monday night footy and that. I don't know, I literally just watch any type of footy I can, really. I don't know, I just love me footy, to be honest.
Mm. Do you watch Monday night?
Yeah. I was thinking it was on the telly. I went to Mick Watson had a night in the Aries on the Vale.
Oh, is this for the Sunday?
The Sunday best thing, and he told me to come along, so I did.
So you missed Monday night for that?
You were on the telly, you're singing on the telly, like. But now I went to the Aries.
So did you listen to Mick's podcasts, all of them?
I've listened to a lot. I haven't been on them the last couple of weeks, but
yeah.
I listened to yours. It was boss, as usual.
Wouldn't be as good as this, though, will it?
No one's as good as man. No, I've listened to loads of them, all loads of us, to be honest. Obviously.
No, the good aren't. I listened to one last week. Jed Ennigan was a lad I played with, so that was good. And he's got a film coming out. So what did you watch then?
It was the Sunday Best documentary. So it was like all the cup winners.
The National Cup.
Nash Cup, so like the Brit, the Oyster, the Campy, all them teams, Fantail.
Yeah.
Out of boss, really, because I know me Sunday footy, I didn't know how much they stretch back. I don't really, you know, about the Campy winning it and probably the Oyster, because like local foot, like the lads I watch, like Leighton McGiven, score for
he's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah.
Everyone on that podcast mentioned, when they go through the best play, they say best left foot, just Leighton McGiven for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, and the Campy as well, because loads of the ex-Bootle lads play for the Campy as
well.
Ryan Jones, Ryan Cox, all them lads, they all play for the Campy. So that's really why I went know all them. And to be fair, just as we come down, I went down. It was a boss, about an hour and 40, but it was boss. Yeah. I love learning about our local footy. I love to learn new things and like all about the footy. To be fair, so it was a boss night.
Yeah. I'm not sure I can get to the night, but he sent me actually on to have a little watch, or have a little look at that anyway.
Nah,
so no. you watch Monday night.
Yeah, I watch Monday night. Yeah.
And what are the so you're in punditry now? This is punditry, isn't it?
Oh, no, I hope so. I wish it was. So, like, I watch the Monday nights, watch the Saturday nights, what's the Sunday one called?
Super Sunday.
Super Sunday. I don't know, I forgot that. Obviously, watch me BT, but put it out there, Sky is better than BT. I'll put that out there for the start.
Who do you like watching, and who are your favourite pundits?
Well, like, obviously you, I think... Dave Jones, I think he's boss. I mean, I don't think, I mean, hosting it is probably one thing that's probably really like stressful. Souness gets a lot of stick, but I don't think he's that bad. I think he's, he talks
about stick for?
I don't know, like, I think people online just give him a stick for being boring and aren't always picking on Pogba, which is good, because he is awful. No, but he does, he gets...
I was getting stick, wasn't I, the other day after the derby, wasn't I?
Oh, what, because you told the Darwin, don't want to swear, that number seven to get up. But to be fair...
Were telling me I was trending.
Well, back you there, because the thing is, if you didn't go down that much, you wouldn't have sat to say it, would you, really?
I know, I got the... The one I said where I had to go when he went down was the one time where he looked hurt, didn't he? He went over on his
ankle. Actually did get hurt. All the other time, went over off a header or something. Oh,
I just got my timing out a little bit wrong on that one.
I better not get stick off saying this.
Hey, when you're going to this pundit, you better get used to this stick. But you're the main pundit for Bootle, aren't you?
Well, I do the media, don't I? I do the interviews.
Have you got to be careful what you say about them? Or do you just do the interviews? You don't want to give your opinion?
I do the interviews and that with Brian. Obviously speak to a couple of the players and that. But I mean, I'm probably allowed to give me thoughts because they do like a space of a night. Do Twitter spaces?
Oh, yeah.
No, they do that.
I tell you what, that is what Everton are the best at. Every time I look at my Twitter, at the top's like an Everton space. They're always on the Twitter thing, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Bootle Books TV. Who's probably like another one that does covers Bootle. They do like interviews and that as well. Obviously, I'm better. they do like a Twitter space, and sometimes I've been on it quite a couple of times speaking. And I think they are. It's like quite opinion based. They're allowed to give an opinion. Allowed to give what you say.
But when the players sent the players listening.
Players listening, yeah.
Oh, do they, yeah? I don't think anyone been on your case yet? No.
No. I think they like it. To be honest, not in too deep, because it actually, to be fair, this season it has not really been too deep to say, except the 7-1 defeat we had. But now, to be fair, it has been mainly positive, so we haven't really had to get on any of the players' backs, to be fair. Yeah. No, but it's been good. What a season to be first one to start covering Bootle for.
And where do you think you'll go from eventually, Bootle? Would you always just want to do Bootle? Or?
I would want to do Bootle for my whole life of a cup, but if it
got someone offers you a few quid.
No, I would obviously want to go into covering other teams. Still do other teams, but I do mainly Bootle, and I've had nothing but good feedback, good memories from it. So I would like to do Bootle. I would I don't know, it's just any opportunity I come, except for the obvious one, the Sun, and I don't know, I can't remember what the other one was called, but I'd have to be careful trying to pick. But I would, a career in sports journal would be my thing. That's what I'd love to do.
Well, I tell you, you've made a brilliant start anyway. Fantastic, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. So your first season in punditry, but it was that season when we finished second under Brendan Rodgers. I don't really want to talk about the Gerrard thing too much, because...
You want to try and get him on?
I want to try and get him on. I don't want to put him off straight away, do I? Be honest, Kate. But obviously, do you wish you stayed on maybe for just that season, maybe to help the lads, maybe won that league title?
I mean, listen, to be honest, I don't think if I'd have stayed on, that meant we would have won the league. You know, that team should have won the league, really. It's very unfortunate what happened, but... You know, the team is amazing. What I always do think about, though, is I'd love to have stayed on, not because I would have, you know, made a big difference to that team or done anything special, but I'd love to have been on the pitch in the second half of that Chelsea game.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're losing 1-0. And when I watch that game back, we did so many stupid things with the ball and, you know, just through desperation.
Yeah.
And I just think... With my experience then, so not actually the actual playing bit, just being on that pitch and talking to players and organising, and because I've been there so often with Liverpool where you need a goal, and it's like, don't panic, just keep doing the right thing, and eventually when you're attacking the cop, something always happens, it just does, and you can feel something happening, and you just keep making pass after pass after pass. And I was thinking that a bit last night watching the Villarreal game. You know, we weren't creating too much in the first half, but I was never worried. It was just... you just got to keep doing the right things and something will open up. And that's the one sort of regret. I always think about that game. I'd love to have played in that game.
Yeah, because that's probably the one that more cost us. Although with the 3-3 with Palace, I don't think we'd have had to worry if we beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Gets on your nerves, doesn't it, really?
We're all right now, though, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're getting back up there. Hopefully you get another league and the Champions League, even the FA Cup as well. The quadruple would be boss, but we'll have to see where we go from there. So as well as Sky Sports, you do some more other punditry, I think, some Danish TV.
I did the Danish. I do
the Champions League. You do a Champions League
CBS.
One. CBS.
With, for America, yeah.
With Michael Richards sometimes. See Thierry Henry on
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
We had some...
Can you believe a lad from Bootle can be understood by people in America?
No, everyone can't understand Scousers, can they? No.
I'm still trying to work that one out, actually, but I don't get much feedback. That's a different type of show. That's more like an entertainment show. You just have a laugh, really. It's a lot more serious, obviously, with Sky and doing the TV and things like that. So it's nice to do something a little bit different on that show.
So the research that you have to do for Sky, the CBS and that, not so much about taking long, it's obviously more enjoyment because it's something you're like, we're doing in football. But does the research have to be like pinpoints, like everything? Does Sky or the host of that show have to give you a list of what they want to talk about on the show and you have to research that?
Not really. Research for me is watching football on the telly, reading the papers, you know. I don't class it as research, I love doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a stat pack before every game that has lots of information in. And I would scan through that rather than sort of take everything down. Because I think if you go on TV and you just start just talking about all these different stats, if I see someone do that, I think, you can't know that. You've just memorised it. It's no one knows. You know, we all know how many goals maybe a Salah scored. And sometimes there might be a really good stat. You think, oh, that's really interesting. I'll use that.
Yeah.
But when someone continually uses stats, for me, that's not football knowledge. That's reading a... sheets of paper and memorising it. So I don't like to do that. I like to have one or two bits up my sleeve for things like that. So that's about it on that. So we do get a stat pack, but normally it'd just be my opinion on things and stuff like that.
Like watching the footy on the telly and the paper and that. I mean, to be fair, that's where I get, reading stuff or other match reports. That's where I get all my vocab and... like words, I can use phrases.
Use the big words. There's not, you try and use a big word on the telly and you get it wrong.
Oh,
I've tried that a few times.
No. Nah, I've got to be fucking do that. I just used it, so that come yet, but wouldn't even attempt.
Oh, come on then. I'm going to interview you for the last few minutes.
Okay.
Oh, have you got anything more for me? I was going to ruin your last few questions.
No, I've got one more question. So
go on then.
Well, it was obviously about the writing the telegram and that. You started doing that.
You mean like newspaper columns?
Like the newspaper columns.
Yeah, I do like doing a newspaper column. And I've done one today that'll be out at the weekend. That'll be on Everton's situation at the moment. I've done one midweek about Liverpool.
Oh, I need to read the Everton one, don't I?
I've been doing that for a few years. And it's just nice every week to say, well, I'd love to talk about that and be able to do it. And I do put a bit of work into it. I know. I'm not naming names, but I know a lot of people who have newspaper columns, a journalist will phone them up and they have a chat and then the column's done. Whereas, there'll be a lot of emails, forward and backwards and changing things and putting things in and out and different things. So, I do the telly, got a column, so I'm quite busy. Even probably more busy now. My wife keeps telling me after playing. But the season that Liverpool have got now then, so come on, I want to hear your views on this Liverpool team.
It's unbelievable, innit? I can't even describe everything. It's in every position. There's a world class player.
Who's your favourite player?
To be at the minute, I would say Luis Diaz.
Oh yeah.
As
lives around the corner from me.
What's that? He's the signing. He's been absolutely unbelievable. What a start as well.
Yeah.
Like Van Dijk, Salah, obvious ones, man. Yeah, Van Dijk. I mean, we saw how much we missed Van Dijk last season as well.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah, done an, well, I'm for a rap, I'm on well, this about this time last year.
Well, so you've been on the Anfield Rap before?
Once, yeah. I think like a weekender show. When I first started, because they were one of my first ever ones. First ever pods.
So you've been, what do you mean? So you went on theirs or you interviewed them?
So my first one, I interviewed them. My second guest, it was my cousins, because they have a band.
Red Rum?
No, the Johns.
Oh, the Johns. Oh, I thought you might have been LinkedIn with
them. Red Rum Club. Now that's, it's Bossy and Ram.
That's what I was saying. They're involved in Bootle, aren't they?
Yeah, nah, the Johns, they're my cousins. And the Anfield, that was my second one, second guest. And then a couple of weeks later, a fella, or the lad called Josh from there, Josh Sexton, asked me if I wanted to come on and do like a thing about my pod and talk about Liverpool. So obviously it's the Anfield Rap, and that's why I just jumped at the opportunity.
Well, that's your competition, isn't it? They're the ones who are blasting these podcasts out, aren't they? Left, right and centre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Got them in your sights?
Yeah, close eye. I had them on a couple of weeks, not a couple of weeks, about this time last year, and they were interviewing me about Liverpool, and about this time last year, we were about 6th or 7th, we were going nowhere, and I was saying how much we were missing Van Dijk.
Mm.
But they were asking me, where do you think we need to improve? And I wouldn't have said centre-back, although it was a big miss, and we have with Canate, is more definitely.
He's great, isn't he?
Oh, he's a beast, isn't he?
Oh, last night, watching him. He's
a beast.
Yeah, I mean, the three we've got at the moment, I mean, because Joe Gomez has found it tough to get back in there, he's playing it right back a little bit, but
yeah,
the three now, wow. I mean, I think Canate next season, I think he might become first choice.
Oh, yeah.
I think he might just edge Matt. You know, not that Matip's done anything wrong. I just think he's that young and he's that good. You've got to, like, just go and let him play. And he's getting a lot of games now, but he's fantastic, isn't he?
No, he's boss. I don't think there's one position where you really look at that and you're like, there's not really, you need to improve.
I just think the one position will be midfield for me.
Henderson, Milner, they're all getting on a bit, but I think...
Because I just think if you look at our first choice midfield now, you've got Henderson,
Fabinho,
Thiago. They're all around 30. They're all around there.
They're getting younger.
You've got, obviously, Naby Keita's done really well against Man City, but you fully trust them injury-wise, and then the other three are all that age.
Yeah.
Milner's obviously a lot older now. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain are probably going to move on. You got Curtis Jones there. I just think one more who was around the sort of 23, 24 age is probably something that we need.
There's a couple of around that age that I've like a look at and think that they would fit in.
Who would you fancy? Anyone in midfield?
I mean,
Bellingham.
Bellingham would be boss from Dortmund. I like that Yuri Tillemans from Leicester. Yeah. He's a very good player. Frenkie de Jong from Barcelona.
He's a player, isn't he?
There's a lot of young midfielders that I think if they got an A team, they'd be like, I don't think we'll be weakening the team at all. I think up front, you can't put... The five we have is just like, it's belter.
Well, what about this news? I mean, we're doing this, we're doing this pod.
Yeah.
What about 15 minutes after it's just come out that Klopp signed? Some news, that, isn't it?
That's amazing. I mean, I don't know. I think even last year there was a lot of uncertainty around Klopp. Obviously, personal things took over and he just didn't know. He just didn't see himself. But this year he's got back to his buzz, with the fans back, and I don't know. He's just as an option for Liverpool. He's just
you're not getting better than him, are you?
I wouldn't say there would be a manager that could come remotely close to getting that team. I don't know, the next manager in line, a lot of people would say Stevie, but he wants Klopp as long as possible
defo.
But it's with belter.
Going well, isn't it? And what are your chances of getting to any of the games before the end of the season? Or
probably very, very slim.
Mm.
Very, very slim. I mean, in our school I'm in now. We had an assembly today, and the Eddie Gear said he's got 9 tickets for the last game of the season against Wolves. So I mean,
how many Liverpoolians? Must be loads of Liverpoolians in the school, mustn't there?
There's also a lot of blue noses too.
Oh, is there?
And there's one United fan.
He's joking.
Nah, there's one United fan.
So you think you've got a good chance of getting one of them?
I mean, my behaviour's all right in school.
All right. Could be improved.
Possibly. No.
You can't be good all the time, can you?
No, I've got a few moments. No, I think I'm all right. I went to the last. They've done the one also again this season, and I went to that against Newcastle. It was 3-1 at Anfield. Trent scored that absolute belter from inside the box. That was one I went to this season. I haven't been to many really. Since the COVID, but I used to go to every cup game at home that we had. And I don't know. I think we should. I've got good chances.
See what we can do.
Have to see. But what my dream would be is to go in that press box at Liverpool, to cover Liverpool, even if it was just for one game.
Yeah, why not?
Just have to
have a word with Matt McCann. Get you in for a game next season.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Have to see what I can do. That's all I have. Thanks so much for taking your time.
Oh, no problem. So when's it coming out? When have I got to start putting this all over everywhere to make sure Jürgen Reed listens and your mates Rob Owen Curtis?
Rob Owen Curtis. Don't know, I'm going to have to put my card and get it all edited and copy out it as early as probably tonight.
Tonight? Wow.
I'm a quick editor.
Yeah, love that.
I'm on that.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
I'm all over that. Yeah. So, obviously, thanks so much for taking your time.
Not a problem. It's been an absolute pleasure to come down, meet you, and hear your story as well.
Thank you.
Okay, brilliant job.